Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua. We're in chapter 6 tonight, Joshua chapter 6. Again, as we've been studying the book of Joshua, we see how God is working. And it all began when, of course, Moses, he passed off the scene because of his disobedience. God wouldn't let him go to the promised land. But he told him that Joshua would be the leader, next leader. And one of the reasons, I believe, is because Joshua was ministering to Moses, and he was following God. And so God saw that he was someone that was willing to listen and to follow him. And so he chose him to be that next leader. And he told him that he would be magnified. And several times we've seen this already, that he was magnified in front of the people because of the things God was doing in the life of Joshua, and how the things that God had talked to Joshua about to do, that he did those things, and the people of Israel saw that, and they were strengthened by that. Of course, before this chapter, we saw last week that the children of Israel weren't ready to go yet and accomplish all the task that they needed to do. One of the things is they had to be circumcised, because many of them, those that were born after, were not while they were wandering in the wilderness. And so God had told them, says, we want each individual to be right with God. And part of that is the circumcision, which was a covenant that was made with Abraham many years ago. And so they had to do that. He also told them they would not have manna any longer. They're not going to get food from the sky or from the ground or whatever, you will. They won't have the manna. And so he said he was going to provide for them the food in the land. Of course, we know that that land was full of milk and honey, and it had big grapes and lots of fruit, and they had saw that earlier, and so they knew that. And so God was entrusting Joshua to do this, and so we come to the time of the actual first battle. And it's interesting because God, he's a God of the details. He shares with Joshua exactly how to do this, and he's going to tell him what to do and how it's supposed to work. And it's because of his obedience, I believe, to the details, is the reason God really destroyed the city. Joshua didn't destroy it. It was destroyed because Joshua was obedient to God, but God destroyed it, and we're going to see that. And today, there are many skeptics who, you know, really don't even believe the Bible, believe the historical account of the Bible, but scientists and those who have excavated these sites have found that there really is a Jericho, or was, and it was brought down. And so we know that the Bible record's true, not because of that, but because we believe God's word. But many people need to see it to believe it. And so I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and I'm just going to read the first 5 verses, and we'll get through all of it probably. But it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given it into thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Father, we do thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for giving us this account, helping us to understand that just as you had a plan for Joshua and the children of Israel, you have a plan for us today. And just as Joshua is learning to walk in the steps that you have ordered for him, we also are learning to do the same. We pray now that you guide and direct the next few moments, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So right here we see that he's talking about the siege of the city. Now God had already set this up. This was not going to be a surprise to these folks. In fact, they had already heard it. The Bible tells us that their hearts melted. They were afraid, because they had heard them cross the Jordan River. They heard these things had happened. And so they were scared to death already. And so here was a city, and it was a formidable city. It had a double wall. The inner wall was 12 foot thick. The outer wall was 6 foot thick. And the Bible says the city was shut up. In other words, they closed the gates. They weren't letting anybody in. They were afraid. They were in there and scared to death. And so God had told Joshua in verse 5, he says, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down, or excuse me, down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called, I'm getting ahead of myself. And so here he's talking about something that's going to take place, and that the walls are going to come down, but the people were prepared for this. In other words, the people of Jericho, turn to chapter 1. I think I read the wrong verse there. In chapter 1, verse 5, this is where God is preparing Joshua. He says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." So here he already told Joshua that these people would be prepared. And in these first five verses of chapter 6, we see the people are prepared. They're prepared and they're scared. They're afraid. They know something's going to take place. And they know that God is working. And, you know, that's what we have to understand as well. God is always working. You know, I think about this situation in Texas, and we don't know what's going to come of this. You know, there is a small town of 50 people, and I think there's 50 plus members of the church, and that church is pretty much wiped out. Over half the people are gone. We don't know that God might use this to save those in the community, that they might turn to Him and see God. We don't know what God's plan is. But we know that we can trust God in every situation, no matter what takes place. And that's what Joshua is trying to train and teach the people of Israel right now. And God was giving him some instructions that he had given to his people. And he told them really how to lay this out or how to go about it. And we see this, these instructions. He told them that the city is prepared for you, that it's ready for you to take it. He told them that they were going to do something special for 7 days. Six of those days, they were going to go around the city one time. And then the seventh day, they'll go around it seven times. They'll blow the trumpets and they'll shout. And seven is an interesting number. It's always the number of completion or perfection. And again, that's what God is using. And he has shared with Joshua exactly how to do this and how to take care of this. So Joshua, we see beginning in verse 6 that he's going to obey this plan. He's going to again share it, and they're going to act upon it. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord." So we see that number 7 many times. "And he said unto the people, Pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord." And so you get a picture. Here we have the ark. We have this priest with the seven trumpets, or the seven priests with trumpets. And then you have the army of the Lord, it says. And it says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout," now get this, "nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout." That's a pretty big thing. Over 600 people, and they said, "Don't say a word." Now, it's hard for us to get two people together and not say a word. I mean, and the Lord said, do this for 6 days. When you walk around, don't say a word. He said, did they do it? What do you think? Absolutely. Absolutely. How do I know? Because the walls came down, just like it's going to show us in this passage. But they did this. And so they put their faith and trust in God. They were obedient to the littlest detail of not saying a word. And I just can't even imagine that. And I don't think today that if we were to walk around the church 7 times, just our small group, and say, don't say any words, and that we would be able to do it. Now, I'm just talking adults, because we know that it would be impossible for the kids. But I think it'd be impossible for us as well, maybe. But anyway, nonetheless, verse 11 says, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So that's the first day. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day, they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So did they 6 days. So for the first 6 days, they were obedient. They did exactly what the Lord had told them to do. And so they had the army leading them. They had the seven trumpets, or seven priests with trumpets. And then they had the Ark of the Covenant. And then they had a reward. I wondered what that was. What is that reward that which goes after the ark, huh? It's the army. It's the same guys or different guys, but still it's the army, because that's what he told them in the first part of this. Verse 3 says, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about. All these men are war, every one of them. That's who it is. It's the army. And so I'm not sure why it spells it out this way, but so completely surrounded, the army completely surrounded the ark as they went around Jericho. And they did this 6 days, and they did it as they walked around one time in that day. And then verse 15 says, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after this same manner seven times. So they're doing the same thing now seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now, I can't even imagine the plan if you had 600 people there and you told them, said, look, we're going to go about this city 6 days, and we're just going to walk around it one time on the first 6 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to go seven times. We're going to blow the trumpets, and then when I tell you to shout, you shout. And we're going to destroy this city. Really? Are you serious? I mean, to me, that's kind of far-fetched. I mean, that's a lot far-fetched. Oh, how'd that happen? Talk about far-fetched. Okay. But nonetheless, they did what God had told them to do. And you know, God is the God of the impossible. That's why it's so important for us that we always look to God no matter what the situation. You know, we look at it as impossible. We look at it like it can't be done. We look like this situation is no way to overcome it. And yet God says, I can. I can. And that's what he's doing right here. He's doing something that's impossible for us to understand, impossible for us to even accomplish without his power. And that's what he did. He intervened here. He told them what to do, how to be obedient, and he took care of the situation. It's the same for us. When we trust him and we follow him, he says, I'll take care of it. I'll be there for you. I'll provide whatever, however it turns out, I'm in the midst of it. And I'll take care of you. And verse 17 says, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. What is he talking about there? Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, you think? That's right. That's exactly what he's talking about. And if you read it on, it's a little bit more clear. It says, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. So if I take something out of that city, what is going to happen? Who's accursed? I'm accursed. Who else? Everybody's accursed. So one person's decision can destroy or ruin a lot of people's lives. That's a scary thought. You know, it's true today to some degree. I mean, if we're not careful, we can ruin many people's lives because of our unwillingness to follow God, to trust Him, and to do what He says. Now, what's the purpose here. He goes on and says, verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated on the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. What is this? What's taking place here? Or what do you think is taking place here? Anybody got any thoughts? Let me suggest something to you. This is the first fruits. This is the first battle. And everything belongs to God, the first fruits. And so he says, bring everything into the treasury. After this, he lets them take the spoils of those enemies that they destroy. But in this particular first battle, he says, all of it comes in to the treasury. The Bible tells us in the next section exactly what happened. It says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And verse 24 says, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot alive, in her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof, and his firstborn and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So what happened here was that God had laid out the plan. So how does this apply to us today? God had laid out a plan. He has a plan for us too. What are parts of that plan? What's the first part of the plan that God has laid out? Salvation. That's the very first thing, is putting our faith and trust in Jesus. And once we do that, then from there, God begins to lead us. We are sheep, and as sheep, we hear his voice, we follow him. And so what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? This is his plan, right? Follow the word of God? Okay. Well, what's some instances? What does it mean to follow Christ? You're right, follow the word of God, but that's kind of generic. So if I went to the dentist, or if I had a toothache, you'd say, go to the dentist. Well, if I get to the dentist, he's going to tell me all about it. What's wrong? It's abscess. I got to yank this out. I got to do this to it and all that. He tells me the details. Yeah, I made it to the dentist. So, but what is it? How do we follow Jesus? Well, we keep his word. That's demonstrated in our love for Christ, right? In John chapter 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. But we learn what the word says. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that. Learning to do the work of the ministry, right? And do it. That's right. And do it. And that's how we follow Jesus, is by applying what the Bible teaches. In other words, we're to be witnesses in all the world. How can we be witnesses in all the world? There are a lot of ways, right? Well, name me two. Huh? Okay. We're called to go somewhere, though, right? So how do we do it individually? Supporting missionaries, absolutely. Tithes and offerings, absolutely. You can name, just go through the book of Matthew, chapter 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus gives us the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us so many different things that we can do to just follow Him. He teaches us those things. Turning the other cheek, loving your enemy, tithing. We shouldn't commit divorce or adultery. There's a lot of things in there that the Bible teaches us. Being faithful to God. How can we be faithful to God? Like Brandon said, reading His Word. Praying, you know, just being faithful to the things of God, being faithful to what God's called us to. If God is in the details, as we see in this account here, that He tells them not to speak or not to make a sound for 6 days as they walked around, that was important to God, and they obeyed that. That demonstrates to me that God is in the details of my life too. We should do it. That's right. Absolutely. And I know we struggle with those things, and sometimes we have to be convinced. I know the children of Israel here, they were convinced. They saw what happened to their forefathers. Those that were, 40 and up, they died, all of them. They saw that. They saw what happened and what took place. And so there's some convincing there. Maybe if we were to see that today, we might be convinced as well. But the point is that we want to look to God and trust Him for whatever He says. And as we learn and as we grow in this walk that He's called us to walk, we want to make sure that we are walking the steps He has ordered for us. And He has a step for each one of us. Everyone in this room has something that God has laid out already, a plan for us, just like Joshua and the children of Israel. It may not be to conquer Jericho, but it may be to conquer some other thing in our life. Maybe it's a sin in our life. Maybe it's a problem that we struggle with. But God is in the details, and He can give us the victory if we trust Him for it. And I think a lot of times that's the hardest thing, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm giving too many excuses of why I can't do something. Well, I can't do that because of this, or I can't do that because of that. Instead of, well, God told me to do it, so what's the holdback? Why do I got to have excuses about this? If I think about Joshua, and if he would have given excuses, said, "Well, Lord, that plan just doesn't sound right. You're going to have to convince me. I mean, I just don't get it. It don't make sense to me. And Lord, you know, all these men, we're going to go out there and we're going to march around that city. And those guys up there in the city, they're going to destroy us with their arrows and with their fire and whatever else they're going to dump on us, oil or whatever. It just doesn't make sense to me." But he didn't do that. He didn't come up with excuses, because he trusted God. And that's what it's all about. It's about having faith. Joshua had that faith. Hebrews 11:30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." And that's what it took. It just took having faith in God, trusting Him, believing His word, being obedient to it, and it took place. Otherwise, it probably wouldn't have. And so for us, that's the very thing that we need to learn, is that we want to walk with God. How do we do that? Joshua 1:8 is probably the best thing that we can really attribute to that, where he gave Joshua this and he told him not to turn to the left or to the right, but stay by the path that God's called him. And then he told him in Joshua 1:8, says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." So that's really the crux of the matter. If we want success, it's to stick by the word. Don't trust how I feel about it. Don't trust what I was taught by somebody else. Don't trust my emotions, but trust God. And sometimes that's hard to do, I understand. But that's what God desires of us, and that's what growing up and becoming a mature Christian is going to teach us, is that we can trust Him no matter what situation we're in. Whether it's destroying a city like Jericho, or if it's reading our Bible, or whatever God calls us to do. Walk across the street, talk to our neighbor. God's in it. then he'll go before us. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for how you teach us in the Bible. We see lessons here that can be learned. We weren't there. We didn't get to see this, but by faith we trust it. We trust that you sent Jericho and the children of Israel to go about that city just like you laid that plan out for 7 days, and then the seventh day walk around it 7 times, blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls came down. Father, we need to realize that you've already prepared the way for us. The things that look insurmountable and very difficult for us in the flesh are nothing for you. And if you've told us to do it, then you've already taken care of it. All we have to do is be obedient to it. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.